This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin and Shamila Ganesan. Tonight, the headlines around My Sejahtera and who's going to be running it.
First, we look at the contract itself and the considerations involved in hiring a private entity to manage a government initiative. Then we discuss the concerns around our private data and who manages it.
So we want to know, do you have questions about this and what are your thoughts? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08. So I'm just going to get ahead of this and say that we're going to be saying a lot of company names and we're going to be giving you a lot of dates. However, for the purposes of understanding this story as much as we can or as far as we can, they are rather important. So to start off, on November 26th last year, the government appointed my SJ Sendirian Berhad by direct negotiation to take over My Sejahtera. And the planned sale was disclosed at a public accounts committee hearing on March 24th. Now, the other company that you might be familiar with hearing in relation to My Sejahtera is KPI Soft Malaysia, now known as Entomo Malaysia. And basically, that is the firm that developed the application initially and also ran it for a period, saying that it was part of their CSR initiative, right? So, all of which to say, it looked as if, okay, firstly, there's going to be a change of hands. It happened by direct negotiation. That's one thing, one point that we'll return to. But the fact that they were said not to be linked to KPI Soft is the other thing, because the directors of the appointed firm, MySJ, actually include two founders of KPI Soft and individuals with political and business connections with parties in the government, including Tan Sri Sharil Shamsuddin, who is the chief executive officer of Sapura, at least up until March last year. And Tan Sri Megat Najmuddin, who is a former UMNO divisional chief who became a senior member of Bersatu.
Great job, firstly, in making that clear, because a number of things to navigate, right? But largely, the criticism and the pushback to this information being made public, which was actually highlighted even in that report by the Public Accounts Committee, has been around a few things. And one of the most vocal people bringing this up has been opposition leader Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim. But largely, here are the issues, right? One, the fact that this claim of there being no link between the two companies, when in fact there were names that are replicated in either side. But also the fact that the government decided to sell My Sejahtera via the direct negotiation process instead of conducting a transparent public tender. Because as you said, Lynn, that initial contract between KPI Soft and the government was for a CSR project. So once that came to an end, even the Public Accounts Committee was pointing out that if another company is going to be appointed to now take over, it should technically have been done via a transparent process and not necessarily a direct negotiation. So those are the two contract related concerns. Then all of this opens up concerns related to our data, because now you have essentially a private company that is managing a huge amount of personal data that we have been essentially asked to input into My Sejahtera without being given much choice.
Yes, that part is crucial. I think the other part that is important to note is also that it's not as if there haven't been general concerns around My Sejahtera. And I'm not necessarily relating it to the app or any breaches in particular. It's more, I think, a general resistance in this age of growing awareness around how our data can be misused to having to provide said data all the time when we're out and about. So in general, I think that there has been a little bit of a growing, in general, when we talk about My Sejahtera, I think by the third person who's talking about it, there will be some mention of, yeah, but what about our privacy? What about our data? And what more when, as you say, this is now going to be in the hands of a private company? And particularly because we don't actually know what the data management end is going to be like, right? Who is actually going to be in possession of said data? So the health minister, Khairi Jamaluddin, has offered a clarification who says, firstly, it's not a sale. It's not a sale to a private company. Rather, the government has decided that the application is its property and the health ministry has been appointed as its main owner. But, and then, of course, that point about KPI Soft and the corporate social responsibility agreement, which allowed it to run for free. And subsequently, the process to formally enter into a business arrangement with the firm was initiated. So the point being that it's about management and not ownership, I think. That's at least what I understand of it.
Yes, but then comes the question again of it was with KPI Soft and then now it's with a different company, right? MySJ. And so a lot of things to unpack, I think, in terms of questions of really, it all comes down to needing more transparency, not just because we've been burnt before with these issues of direct negotiations when it comes to government initiatives. But now it involves something that is our data. And I think that's where the concerns and the criticism is coming from and the calls for more transparency in this whole process.
So we're going to be getting into the issue of management, especially you know, on the part of the government, but also where a private entity comes into this with Tricia Yeo, CEO at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs. But we would like to hear from you. I mean, we certainly have a lot of questions about this, so do you. Send them our way. We'll put them through to our guests. And in general, share your thoughts with us. You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Better, fitter ministers. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:14 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about the various headlines around MySejahtera and specifically who's going to be responsible for running it, managing it. And we'd like to hear from you. Do you have questions about this and what are your thoughts? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now at least on the contract and agreement side of things, we're just trying to understand what's going on. We're joined by Tricia Yeo, CEO at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs or IDEAS. Tricia, thanks as always for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Lynn.
So we kind of ran through it earlier. There's been a lot of information emerging on who is going to who actually owns MySejahtera and who will be managing it moving forward. Firstly, could you help us understand what has transpired over the last week or so?
Thank you. I think I'm also just trying to make sense of it. There's a lot of information that's being revealed. This, of course, started with the leader of the opposition, Anwar Ibrahim, revealing the contents of the PAC meeting, right? And so the PAC report is actually also available online. So that's something that's good. You know, initially we were thinking that if the report wasn't online, then we would call for the report to be online. So it is available for public reading. It's long, it's detailed. So emerging from the PAC report, it revealed certain things about the fact that MySJ has been given this contract, right? And following that, KJ has responded in a press statement stating that the MySejahtera app belongs to the government and that MOH was appointed as the primary owner of the app. So those are the two big things that have happened in the last few days, over the last few days. Of course, on top of that, I mean, credit to Code Blue of the Galen Center for having put a lot of this information together on our behalf. The information seems to be contradictory because it seems like what the PAC was informed by MOF and MOH individuals and officers seems to be contradictory to what the statement was that was released by Khairi as the Minister of Health just yesterday. I don't think that they are directly contradictory. I think there are a lot of sort of half answers that we really need to dig into to really verify. So, I mean, I have a lot of questions, and I'm sure you do as well. And these questions are over. So for example, in the very first place, when COVID started, right? Okay, we knew that there was a need to have some kind of app to track our movements for contact tracing purposes. The app was released in March 2020. And what we know now is that the the KPI Soft or Entomo, we use those two interchangeably because the name was changed. So let's say Entomo now, it was renamed. So they were given this sort of pro bono, or rather they offered, right? So they were doing this pro bono exercise for the government, and that applied for a year. So from March 2020 to April 2021. That is what Kyrie has said. My first question would be actually, number one, why was it that KPI Soft was given the contract in the first place? Okay, so kind of like, what were the negotiations back then? Was there an open tender? We understand, yes, in times of emergency, and also it requires a very certain type of technical skill to develop. But still, what was the decision around the appointment of KPI at that point in time? Number one. Number two, after the 1 year of a pro bono service to the government, what happened after that? So you're talking about, you know, April 2021 onwards, what was the agreement? Was there any agreement between the government and the company at that point in time? So there's a kind of gap. There's like a pretty long gap between, say, March, April 2021, all the way till November 2021, which, as now information is being revealed, tells us that in November 2021, the cabinet met, right? And the MOF, so the cabinet approved, this is according to the PAC, yeah? So the cabinet approved and the MOF approved direct negotiations to appoint MySJ, and MOH was appointed the primary owner of MySJ app. So all this happened on the 26th of November, 2021. So what happened between March 2021 and November 2021? Those, remain unanswered. And I guess that's the big second question. And the final third big question right now is why MySJ was appointed through direct negotiations, right? So we know that we do have procurement laws under the Ministry of Finance, which all government agencies are supposed to adhere to. There are some exceptions where, again, emergency, special technical skill, but the problem here, and I want to draw it out to the bigger question of procurement policy in Malaysia, it is not clearly spelled out when and under what conditions direct negotiations can be permitted. And this is a problem not just for MySJ case, but for all cases of procurement across the board. I think I'll stop there for now. I think at this point, there are just a lot more questions than there seem to be facts available.
So I'm going to pick on one particular aspect of all of those things that you highlighted. Right now, we know that MySJ is taking over MySejahtera from Entomo. Is this arrangement unusual?
So from what I understand from reading through all this information as well, is that there was a license agreement between Entomo and MySJ. So it seems to me that Entomo actually agreed with MySJ that MySJ would be the one developing it. So is it unusual? I think that there were some questions in the PAC race as to who were these entities and were they the same entities? And so during the PAC meeting, as I understand it, it was established that Entomo was a completely separate entity with different shareholders, different board members, completely separate from MySJ. Is it unusual that this transfer is made immediately? It is, because if they are separate entities, then there should be questions raised as to why it is no longer Entomo and then MySJ is brought into the picture. But I think more importantly, so what are the main issues here? Number one is the issue of public procurement, right? So how do we talk about the tender process and so on and so forth? The second issue is actually the greater concern, which is on data privacy and data security. Now we know that the government has said, or rather Kyrie has said, that the app belongs to the government and MOH has been appointed. Was there any agreement really? Like, what were the terms and the conditions that spelled out the relationship between the government and KPI Soft / Entomo in the first place? Like, we have not cited anything on that. And if there were no terms of agreement, Was it clearly spelled out, for example, who owned the data? Because in the wrong hands, we can completely imagine how this personalized data and health-related data could be misused or abused. So I am concerned about the data issue. Bear in mind, in addition, that while the government has a PDPA, so we have this law, right, on personal data protection, Clause 3, subsection 1 actually says that the PDPA does not apply to the federal government or to the state governments. So what does that mean? This cracks open a whole other bunch of issues. So if the government actually owns the app, but the PDPA doesn't apply to the government, then what are we saying with regards to data protection? I mean, apart, of course, from the verbal assurances from the minister, I think this sort of thing needs to be institutionalized and put into writing, definitely as part of the law, if we're talking about the potential infringement on, you know, millions of Malaysians' data. By the way, this position should also hold true to not just the federal government app, My Sejahtera, but the concerns over data protection also needs to apply to all other apps that have been developed, including the Selangor state government's Selangka, right? And I'm just talking about the data privacy issue here because some people are equating this to social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and so on. But I think in those cases, it's very clear that as consumers, you sign agreements before you agree to participate. Whereas in the case of these My Sejahtera and Selangka and so on, like whatever apps, they are actually enforced upon citizens in order to access certain rights. So there is a clear difference between, you know, social media protection, protection of data versus these sorts of applications that are developed by government.
So, I mean, this is happening because My Sejahtera is now, is and has been run by a private company as opposed to managed by the government per se, right? Why is this the case? And what are the advantages or drawbacks to this approach?
I think any private company that comes into an agreement with the government, it's actually fine for private companies to be given contracts, right? I think we all want there to be the flourishing of such skills and talent in the market. And Ideas is a firm believer in the market anyway. I think the concern here is the process. So we always hammer back on the process, right? Like, what were the processes that were used to select the company? Were the right skills and expertise the ones that were needed in the first place? Were there other considerations? And also spell this out in writing. What were the terms of the agreement? What were the terms of reference? You know, was there any kind of service contract? I think some of the articles alluded to something that there was a form of a service contract, but for now, we don't know what there was. In fact, I think there are some disputes as to whether there was a letter from the National Security Council, whether or not this letter amounted to a service contract. I think, again, I don't want to be speculative. I think I want to kind of leave them open-ended as questions, because if, and that's a big if, right? So if there was no real service contract throughout this development of the app and the implementation of the app, right, by the way, over the last 2 years, then what has happened to the data points of a 2 year period from March 2020 to March 2022, where we are right now. And I think, yeah, these questions really need to be answered in detail because some of the answers that we've been getting are not truly reflective of the concerns that are starting to arise.
Trisha, we just have a couple of minutes left. One thing that's drawn attention is the inclusion of both KPIsoft founders as well as prominent figures connected to the government on MySJ's board. What are some potential issues with that? Or is this just normal?
Well, I don't want to speculate on the particular individuals and their links, but I think I'll just say as a general rule of thumb, there is a principle of conflict of interest. And in Malaysia, that concept seems to fly out the window, really. In many countries, and certainly in some that I've visited, there's an actual office that manages conflicts of interest. So if you are to... Okay, so it's very clear if you're a government servant, for example, you need to declare not just your assets, but you need to declare potential conflicts of interest. So family members, like what are the relationships there? I think it's less clear when it comes to procurement and contracting, but the problem really here is conflict of interest, right? So if there are individuals on boards of any company, I don't want to make it exclusive to this case, but of any company that has also a relationship with government or was formerly in government, say in the recent, 2 to 3 years, these are things that need to be declared. Unfortunately, all of these rules are not things that we have developed very clearly. Ideally, this would be administered by an independent institution like an ombudsman. And an ombudsman is very different from, say, the MACC Anti-Corruption Commission, because those are items that you can report on which are not clearly to do with corruption per se, but say an infringement or a breach of government policy, where the conflict of interest, the interest itself was not declared upfront prior to the contracting. And we don't have an ombudsman. So it's like, another point on the very, very long laundry list of things that I think we just need to reform. I mean, ultimately, it's about institutions and about accountability. And for something as really sensitive as this, I mean, I really think that Malaysians do need to be aware. And if any time, if there is a time to be concerned, I mean, it would be now, because it's not just your health information, it's your whereabouts, right? Millions of data points are logged in every day, where you go, where you check in. And the check-ins is valuable information to any one with a marketing head cap on. You know what this information can be used for.
Tricia, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
That was Tricia Yeo, CEO at Ideas, talking to us about the situation with MySejahtera and who will be managing it moving forward. Keep those thoughts coming. We'll be back after this.
Brilliant financial model. BFM 89.9.
It's just about 6:39 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila, and we are trying as far as possible to get some clarity today on the various headlines surrounding MySejahtera. So just to recap, essentially, the government has appointed MySJ Sendirian Berhad by direct negotiation to take over MySejahtera. This was disclosed at a public accounts committee hearing, and the firm was supposed to not be linked to KPI Soft Malaysia, which had developed the application. But if you look at the directors of the appointed firm, there are two founders of KPI Soft and a variety of other individuals with links to the government. And so the questions surrounding that have been, in terms of the distinction between the two companies, the decision to go via direct negotiation rather than public tender. And then more widely, there have been worries about the personal data, right, that actually people log into MySejahtera, and who is going to not own it but have access to it. And it is those two elements that we're trying to talk about today, this issue of governance and management of the application, but also of worries around privacy and personal data. So we've been asking you for your thoughts. Do you have questions about this? And what's your take on it in general? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So on the topic of the open tender process, at least, we have this from Munif.
Munif says, I'm sorry to break it to you that even if it was an open tender, it wouldn't have made any difference. In the construction industry, lots of so-called open tenders come in with a set of convenient prerequisites that end up favoring the usual cronies winning those tenders anyway. When there's a corrupt will, there's a swindling way.
That's the saying, isn't it? That's what our parents taught us growing up, where there is a corrupt will, there is a swindling way. But no, I think that there... Therein lies some sad truths, right? About the, not in this situation, we can't speak to the situation, we don't know. But in general, I think it comes down a lot to how things sound. Open tender just sounds good. And this is why it's something that we consistently call for. It's something that you hear people say, it needs to be transparent, needs to be open. But as you rightly point out, Munif, the devil's in the details, and there are a lot of small ways in which something that is purportedly open might not be so open at all.
And honestly, this really speaks to a larger frustration and disillusionment with the process. As you said, even though we don't actually have all of the information yet about this current situation, often past information, past experiences tend to automatically bring a certain color and a certain tenor to these conversations because of exactly that assumption.
So let us know what you think. Again, we're talking today about, I'm not going to recap it again because it just takes up so much time, but the various issues surrounding MySajatra, whether it is about ownership and management or whether it is about private data and who is managing it, because we have all given a lot of private data to MySajatra over the last couple of years. If you have questions, if you have thoughts, send them our way. That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Speaking with us now about that issue of privacy and access to data is Khairul Yusuf, co-founder of Sina Project, which is a tech initiative using open technology, open data and policy analysis to make important information more accessible to people. Khairul, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, okay. We touched on this a little bit earlier, but over the last couple of years, right, if you can recap for us, what have the main worries been when it comes to data privacy and MySajatra?
I mean, it's a pretty short recap, basically. Everybody's concerned with the given amount of data that they're sharing about the possibility for data leaks and the misuse of their personal data.
And how well has the government done in reassuring the public on this front?
I think the government has done well because it does, you know, it's done assuming that this is for your, you know, health reasons. It's good for you. It's secured by us and it's run by the government. So I think most Malaysians, we kind of try to take faith that, you know, that at least they're trying to do the right thing. And that's what we've kind of taken their word for.
So before we get into the current worries around MySajatra, right, if we take a step back, I think I just want to kind of get the lay of the land in terms of the worries around misuse of information. So if we look at the concerns around personal data online, what are some of the ways in which this information can be misused?
I think the two parts to personal data being misused. One is that we're worried about our detailed data used to build detailed profiles for marketing. And on a much more serious note, people are concerned about their safety and security. Our personal details, including health, dependents, family, home address, those are also, when there's a leak or misuse, it subjects us to possible scams, frauds, and fraud schemes, and, you know, might even put us in danger at times.
So what measures are built into MySajatra to ensure data privacy and that there won't be potential misuse?
That's the billion-dollar question, isn't it? We don't know. Without the detailed CSR agreement that, you know, has been stated made public, it's not open source. It's not reviewable by third parties. So at this stage, all we can do in terms of the measures built into it is to take the government's word that they have done, you know, the due diligence for it.
So considering then where we are, how do you think these recent headlines will impact the general sentiment around the use of the app?
Basically, if, you know, the public sentiment right now is that the data that's being gathered, you know, that we've been promised, that is secure, audited and managed by the government, may not be fully in control of the government. That instead of a government service for citizens, you know, the personal data of Malaysians and also foreigners, you know, tourists coming into Malaysia, are actually being used to sell products by a private company. So instead of a service for citizens, we actually become the product. And worse than that, we're actually forced to be a client base for the sales of these products. Yes.
On the line with us today is Khairul Yusuf, co-founder of Sina Project, and we're talking about essentially MySajatra and more broadly the worries that people have had or do have about privacy and data in general. We'd like to hear from you with all the headlines surrounding MySajatra. What are your thoughts? And do you have any questions? You can send them our way. That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back for more with Khairul after this. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers. BFM 89.9. 89.9.
It is 6:46 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila, and we're talking today about Mysejahtera and the worries, I think, in general over the company that has been appointed to manage it, and also the fact that that company was appointed via direct negotiation. So one thing. The other thing has been about worries with our private data being managed by a private entity and not the government. So we'd like to hear from you. If you have thoughts, if you have questions, that number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at PFM Radio. We've been speaking, of course, with Khairul Yusuf, co-founder of Sinar Project, about that issue that we talked about in the second half, that issue of privacy and data. So, Khairul, largely the concerns have been around a private company managing our Mysejahtera data, which, to be fair, has been from the start, right? It's always been a private company. How do you feel about this?
In general, I'm okay with this. And I'll put that into context. Think about the data that we're already using in terms of private companies, in terms of, you know, using Google Drive, for example, or Microsoft Office and other online cloud services, right? Booking our tickets online and so on. So for me, it's okay as long as there's enough transparency. When a private company is managing data on behalf of a government, if there's a clear contract in place where, you know, the company has to comply to all government guidelines and regulations, that the systems and software is audited, and that the audit reports, you know, on all these concerns are made public, then there will be trust when there is transparency.
So exactly that, right? Part of the questions on transparency has to do with how the negotiation was carried out, in that it wasn't a public tender. Instead, it was direct negotiation. How might this affect the, how does the way this deal was carried out relate to data privacy concerns?
Well, I think it goes way worse than direct nego in this case. And, you know, we have to thank Blue Cilin and Code Blue for the brilliant reporting, you know, an additional investigations on what transpired, along with the PAC transcripts, right? So the problems are far more serious than direct nego, because for a period between March and May 2021, all there was a CSR agreement. We don't know what that agreement was, and up until present, there has not been an actual contract, at least not that we are not aware of. So before even the direct negotiation issues that are being raised right now, there are serious questions on exactly what are the agreements in place, and whether any of the government procurement guidelines, requirements for IT and so on were required, and if there was even a contract to do so.
We have a tweet that came through from Kajon, who says, so where would the PDPA sit in this situation? Isn't it designed to protect our information when it comes to situations like this?
Yes. So the PDPA, I think, only covers agreements between us, the consumers, and private companies. It does not cover our privacy when it relates to government services. So we have to be clear on that. So the challenge here is the fact that when we agreed to use Mysejahtera, I believe all citizens believe that that agreement was with the Malaysian government. So in this case, the PDPA didn't apply, and that we were dependent on the government internal, you know, guidelines and regulations to keep our private data safe. So in this case, PDPA does not apply. But it seems like it should have been applied, considering that we're actually using and, you know, kind of making an agreement with a private company instead of the government. Yeah.
Now, there has been talk of Mysejahtera functioning somewhat like a health super app, right? Do you think this would work?
No, this is not the first time around. For those of you who can remember, this has been proposed before for the One Malaysia email. Basically, it's a very similar pitch, also as PPP. And there's also, you know, issues and controversy around, for example, MyEG in terms of, you know, using private services. I do not think it would work, mostly because government services, and I'll reiterate again, it's not supposed to be used as citizen data to be sold and used as commercial products, especially even more so than we're supposed to be used for. It is simply a government to provide a specific service, not as some kind of commercial application.
So in general then, how can the government work with private vendors in a way that assures long-term privacy and continuity for the people using their services like MySajatra?
Basically, the best there has always been detailed government guidelines on IT procurement, especially around the development of digital services. Anybody who's familiar with government procurement, there's like pages and pages on how this should be done. So how they should work basically is, and these guidelines cover relationships with vendors. It covers ownership, security, costs, audit details, and whatnot. So how the government should work with private vendors is already spelled out very clearly with a lot of experience. So in moving forward, basically, that this should not happen again. Whenever a government actually procures government services or apps for the public, that it should adhere to its own strict guidelines and regulations, especially when it comes to procurement. And hopefully this will actually ensure, safety and trust in us using, government services and apps.
Hyrule, any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
I know that, COVID-19 has been, wealth of issues regarding, the need to balance between rapid, procurement and so on. But these procurement guidelines are in place. MOH has very detailed, guidelines on how it should protect. So even though there's an urgent need for this, I think, these procedures and regulations are there in place to safeguard our safety. And the government should not, bypass these regulations for procurement to ensure that we have trust in government, these essential government services.
Kyril, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Yep. Again, thank you for having me.
That was Kyril Yusuf, co-founder of Sina Project, taking us through, I think, some of the worries around data when it comes to MySajatra. And that really is the second element of this, or is it the fifth? I don't know. One of the very complex bits of this thing that we're trying to untangle with all the recent headlines around MySajatra. We'd like to hear from you. If you have thoughts, if you have questions, keep them coming. That number to call, 7733 2900. WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Now to take us to the news, we have some music. It's The Clash with I Fought the Law, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.